Evangelicals, Donald Trump, hypocrisy. How do we sort these things out?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, my goal is not to offend everybody. My goal is not to get everybody provoked and worked up. However, I'm confident that as we address certain key things today on The Line of Fire, that some folks will get offended, and maybe on all different kinds of sides of the issues we discuss, my goal is to speak the truth in love and help us as God's people follow Him wholeheartedly and speak the truth to power and speak the truth to culture. This is Michael Brown. You are listening to and watching, many of you, The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. All right, over the weekend, President Trump, in a very free-form speech in Pennsylvania supporting an endangered Republican candidate, they're endangered in terms of his election in a district easily won by President Trump. He's campaigning there, and from what I have read, he is more and more wanting to do things on his own, trust his own judgment, kind of cut loose from some of the team, counsel, or constraints around him, and seems like he's determined to just be himself. And that means insults, and that means vulgarities, the very things that I don't like about the president. Oh, I'm all for his boldness. I'm all for his courage. I understand it takes a certain type of person to make the decisions he's made and be willing to step out and do what he thinks is right, regardless of what the reaction is going to be. And I applaud him for those things that are right, that are good, where he is courageous. At the same time, he does other things that embarrass me. And because people look to me and they look to pastors and leaders and they look to evangelicals, they look to others who profess the name of Jesus for some type of moral guidance or moral clarity, for me it's important to say, hey, I really appreciate the president doing this. Hey, I'm really grieved over the president doing this. I don't understand why we must go one way or the other. Why we must be so blindly loyal to him that we cannot say this is wrong or this grieves me, or why we must be so decidedly against him that we cannot commend him for doing good. I don't see any moral consistency there, and I don't see how either of those positions helps our witness. So in case you missed it over the weekend, he referenced Chuck Todd, NBC, MSNBC, Chuck Todd. He referenced him as a sleeping son of a, and he spelled it out, a sleeping SOB. He also insulted Maxine Waters as low IQ. But the quote that got the most attention was the sleeping SOB. And now you've got SOB, everybody repeating it and out there. Even one of my dear friends and colleagues, a godly Christian man who's been so careful in terms of how he has presented himself in the midst of controversial issues, he said, look, he's been advocating, he's taken strong stands for years. He's been arrested for strong stands he's taken for pro-life and the gospel over the years. He's a courageous follower of Jesus, fearless, doesn't back down. At the same time, he's always sought to do things in a way that honors Jesus, that is in keeping with him being a reverend, being a minister of the gospel. And on his Facebook page, he said it's distressing to him, you know, when the president uses this kind of rhetoric, and he actually quotes the whole thing right on his Facebook page. I thought how interesting that is, that now things just become common. And you say, well, what's the big deal, man? You're nitpicking. You still got a prude? Look, we're dealing with enemies that want to destroy America. We're dealing with issues having to do with abortion. We're dealing with the radical left. We're dealing with radical Islam. You're going to get upset if the president uses a little profanity and you know, has a little fun. Well, why can't the president fight ISIS and radical Islam? Why can't the president oppose the agenda of the radical left? Why can't the president work for a better economy? Why can't the president work against the slaughter of the unborn? Why can't he do all those things without the vulgarities? You say, well, presidents say all kinds of things behind closed doors. Yes, they do. And when they now insult and act a certain way publicly, it it has a ripple effect through the nation. So that stuff grieves me, just as the other stuff, you know, moving the embassy to Jerusalem in May, that's massive. That excites me. So I'm going to say, well done, Mr. President. And one day and the next day say, sir, please, you're hurting your own cause. You're alienating people. You're further dividing a very divided nation. Well, Obama divided. Yes, Obama divided, and Trump's further dividing. How does that help? How does that help? And the charges of hypocrisy, these are things we need to examine, especially when I say we, I mean believers in general. But specifically, we who are white evangelicals need to be ready to respond to this charge of hypocrisy. And in a little while, I'm going to talk about hypocrisy, white, black, evangelical. We'll sort these things out. 866-34-TRUTH. So in response to the article that I wrote, my most recent article, I agree with Chuck Todd. And we'll play you a clip. We'll play you some clips in a moment from a few different folks coming from different angles here. But in response to my article, I said, look, some of you are going to call me a liberal. Some of you are going to call me this and that. Well, we got some interesting responses. How about this one that was posted on Facebook saying this? Brown is a drug addict and a liberal. Yeah, we did block Renee, someone. We did block that because we don't allow that level of insult. I don't mind it against me, but we don't allow it just in general on our social media sites where everyone's attacking others. But I'm not just a liberal. I'm a drug addict. Yeah, I guess so. If I was shooting heroin in 1970, 71, that makes me a drug addict today. Yeah, perfect logic there. That makes sense. And then another comment. I mean, just defending Trump. Trump was 100% correct, says Randall. What he said was not vulgar at all. And then he added in this additional comment. He said this. He was right about Mad Maxine also. She is also a mental midget. See, this is the type of stuff everyone just starts flinging words and flinging insults. And we don't think that hurts the country also. We don't think that that has a degrading effect on the country also. You say, well, what's worse, that or killing the unborn or killing Christians in the Middle East? Well, that's why I voted for Donald Trump against Hillary Clinton. And if I had the same choice to make today, Donald Trump against Hillary Clinton, I would vote for Donald Trump again. But here, there's a good comment posted on Facebook by Kirk. And we need to take hold of this. He said, look, evangelicals believed in the morality and uprightness of the presidential office all the way until Trump was elected. Suddenly, Jesus, the Bible, and the entire Christian faith have taken a back seat. What I do know is 95% of you no longer have the moral right to chastise, judge, nor admonish another president from here on out. Kirk, you make a good point. In other words, if this had been Bill Clinton using this kind of language, say about a conservative commentator on Fox News or a conservative radio host, or if it had been Barack Obama doing it, we would have been in an uproar over it. All right. Or the Stormy Daniels accusations. Let's just say they're true. Let's just say that years back, Donald Trump had an affair while married, right? Had an affair with a porn star and paid her hush money to keep her quiet. If true, we don't know if it's true, but if true, let's say that that had come up during the primaries, all right? And in the days when I was supporting Ted Cruz and was opposing Donald Trump, this would be further fuel for my fire to say, aha, you see, the man's immoral. He can't be trusted. He did this while married. He did this while, allegedly, again, but he did this while Melania was pregnant with their child, all right, if the chronology is right. And that'd be further fuel for a fire. Or let's turn this around. This comes out during the campaigning of Senator Barack Obama running for president. And we find out that allegedly he's paid hush money to a porn star with whom he had an affair. We wouldn't have raised that as an issue of concern. So these are things that I think we have to take seriously, and we have to evaluate seriously, and we have to respond to seriously. Now, we can do it in a way that is consistent with our faith and still explain why we choose to vote for Donald Trump, or if the elections were today, why we would vote for him. And by the way, I'm in the midst of a Twitter poll, and it's interesting. From this Twitter poll, I asked the question, all right, in preparation for today's radio show, let's repeat this poll. If you did vote for Trump, would you do so under the same circumstances today? If you did not vote for him, would you vote for him now? So the way it breaks down, 66% of those following me on Twitter did vote for him, 34% did not. So basically 2 out of 3 did vote for him. Out of those who did vote for him, 62% said they'd do so again, 4% said they wouldn't. So out of the 66%, all right, what, over 90% said they'd do so again. Look at this. Out of those who didn't, so that's the 34%, of that, it's 27-7 saying I didn't vote from then and I wouldn't now versus I didn't but would now. In other words, he has picked up more potential voters than he has lost. So we can say, evaluating the issues and seeing how he's governed, we have these pluses here, which are this high, and these minuses here, and we evaluate it, and we go with the pluses. And if it had been Hillary Clinton, in our view, the minuses would have been over here, and the pluses over here. So that's how we voted, all right? We just have to be realistic and consistent and honest, and I don't know why it's so hard to do that. Why we think we either have to defend him at every point, or why we can't recognize good that he's doing. And then we've got to honestly face the question about how important is character. In the past, we've said it was very important. In the past, we've said integrity mattered. In the past, we've said these things were of paramount concern. Some have said, look, one of the most influential, beloved leaders in American history is Martin Luther King, who was infamous for his many affairs, his adulterous affairs, and his womanizing. And I've seen nothing ever that really denied the truthfulness of those allegations. Are we putting too much emphasis on character? Or can you have strong character in certain ways and weak character in other ways? These are honest questions we need to ask ourselves. And we simply need to be consistent before God. Look, the world is looking to us, whether it likes us or not. It's expecting some type of moral compass from us, even if it hates us and despises us. Let us be consistent. That's all I'm asking for. All right, we've got some clips to play for you when you come back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, there's a right way and a wrong way to fend off the criticism and attacks that come. The wrong way is to become defensive and to respond in a way that is not morally consistent. The right way is to be honest. Michael Brown here. You are listening to The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. Remember, you can watch the broadcast on a live feed on YouTube and Facebook on the Ask Dr. Brown channel. So Ask Dr. Brown on YouTube, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. And to get in the conversation, 866-34-TRUTH. There's a comment, a couple of comments from someone using the initials DG on YouTube and saying, oh my God, are we wasting our time even dignifying this obvious attack on Trump? Give me a break. I'd vote for Trump any day over that corrupted witch Hillary Clinton. Give me a break. Shaking my head. Yeah, DG, I really appreciate you being engaged. That's why we have the live chat on YouTube, and so you can express your views. I don't know if you claim to be a follower of Jesus, DG. If you do, that's the big issue here. Again, I voted for Donald Trump on Election Day. If the elections were today, I'd vote for him with even less hesitation now. because I know exactly what I'm getting, all right? My fear, my worst fear, was that he would break all his promises to the conservatives and have lousy character. My greatest hope would be that he would keep his promises to the conservatives and his character would change. My expectation was more that he would keep his promises to conservatives and his character really wouldn't change, all right? Now that we've seen what we've gotten, it's basically what my expectation was. Well, for me, that means I would vote for him with even less hesitation now. I see the damage he's doing. I see the good he's doing. I see the good, in my view, as being better than the damage. And that's how I'm going to vote, all right, accordingly. And I'm pleased with the good results and grieved over the bad things. But as a follower of Jesus, people are looking to you and they are looking to me. And this has to do with our witness to the world. That's the issue. It's not politics. I'm not concerned about politics right here. I'm concerned about our witness to the world. So Michael Gerson was on Face the Nation on Sunday, and he's asked this question. He had written a piece in the Atlantic about evangelicals and hypocrisy and so on, you know, white evangelicals. And I agreed with some of it and disagreed with other parts of it. But listen to what he had to say. Margaret Brennan asked him a question. Listen to what he has to say.
I want to ask you, you just wrote an in-depth piece about sort of the struggle within, your, as you see it, the search for the soul of the evangelical movement in many ways. You say they've lost their interest in decency. What do you think the evangelicals who support President Trump make of this Stormy Daniels scandal?
Well, I think that it is it's the height of hypocrisy, and we saw it with Roy Moore as well.
All right, so here's where I agree and disagree. He went on to say this, that if this had been a Democratic president, that the evangelicals would have been off the reservation. So here's where I agree, here's where I disagree. I agree. If this had been a Democratic president and the accusations coming against him were the accusations coming against Donald Trump, or he behaved himself the way Donald Trump did, we would have been all in arms, and this is wrong, and that's wrong. On the flip side, these Democratic presidents, say if it had been Bill Clinton, if it had been Barack Obama, if it had been Hillary Clinton and the accusations were coming, they were not fighting for the life of the unborn. They were not fighting for our religious liberties. They were not fighting against a radical left agenda. They were not doing many other things that we believe are important. Therefore, there is a conflict here, all right? As for bringing up Roy Moore, well, the fact of the matter is that many of us didn't believe the allegations were true, or we weren't sure. If we believed they were true, I was very clear on this, if we believed the allegations were true, and Roy Moore didn't acknowledge them, that would have meant he was lying today. And if he was lying today, that would be my issue. Yes, you sinned in the past. If you've made things right with God and man, we move forward. You can be forgiven, and we move forward. And depending on the level of what's done, you make the judgment whether someone is suitable for leading in the future. But the issue would be if you're lying about it today, then that is saying something about your trustworthiness today. And if you were campaigning as a Christian candidate, which Roy Moore was, all right, which Donald Trump ostensibly was, but very few of us took that seriously, all right, those become issues for me. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, so Huffington Post upset with Robert Jeffress, Pastor Robert Jeffress, prominent evangelical voice, posts a headline attacking him saying, pro-Trump pastor, thou shalt not have sex with a porn star, doesn't apply here. Now, of course, as you might expect from the very liberal Huffington Post, that is hardly a fair representation of what Pastor Jeffress had to say. But he's on Fox News, and he is discussing these issues, allegations, Stormy Daniels, the porn star allegations, and all of the latest controversy, moral controversy surrounding President Trump. So this is what he had to say.
I'll go to you first. What do you make of evangelicals being called hypocrites in the wake of these allegations?
Well, it's absolutely ludicrous. Look, evangelicals know they're not compromising their beliefs in order to support this great president. And let's be clear. evangelicals still believe in the commandment, thou shalt not have sex with a porn star, okay? We're still agreed on that. However, whether this president violated that commandment or not is totally irrelevant to our support of him for two quick reasons. First of all, evangelicals knew they weren't voting for an altar boy when they voted for Donald Trump.
Right.
We supported him because of his policies and his strong leadership. And tonight you saw another example, the result of that strong leadership in the announcement from North Korea. Mm. But secondly, and Sandra, this is more important perhaps, evangelicals understand the concept of sin and forgiveness. Look, we are all sinners. We all need forgiveness. That forgiveness is available through Christ for anyone who asked. And whether the president needs that forgiveness for this particular allegation, whether he's asked for it is between him, his family, and his God.
All right. Now, here's where I differ with all respect to Pastor Jeffress. Here's where I differ. Yes, forgiveness is something that we believe in. Yes, forgiveness is something that we seek to practice towards others, to forgive others as God has forgiven us. And I believe, by and large, Americans are forgiving people. I mean, just think for a moment of an athlete that messes up and then publicly messes up, confesses to it, makes things right, you know, tries to fix things with whoever they've sinned against and says, man, I blew it. I'm going to learn from this. I'm so sorry. I'm embarrassed. When they show up to play next, everybody's clapping for them, saying, hey, we support you, man. We stand with you. You know, Americans have that quality of being forgiving. But here's the issue. Would we have said, and this is the hypocrisy thing, would we have said the same thing about President Clinton? Whether the charges are true or not is between him and God, is between him and his family, is between him and the people that he allegedly sinned against. No, we wouldn't have said that. Now, here's the other thing. President Trump denies the allegations, all right? I'm just talking about us being consistent. I'm talking about honesty and consistency before God. President Trump denies the allegations. All right, if he's being lied about, then we want to expose those lies and we want to stand with him against those lies. If he's lying to us, then that becomes a concern. If he said, yes, I blew it 10 years ago or 12 years ago, many of you know I was a narcissistic guy. I was a playboy. I boasted about committing adultery. You know, that's who I was. If that's what he said and just comes clean, yeah, you make things right with family. But when the allegations are out there, if they're true, especially with a public figure of this notoriety, the president of the United States, and naturally speaking, the most powerful man in the world, all right, and one with the support of a large number of evangelical Christian leaders, that now we're tied in with this. That's what we have to see. We're tied in with this. I don't know why that's so hard for some people to grasp. I'm not throwing stones at the president. I voted for him in 2016. If the elections were today, I would vote for him today, okay? Now, if he was up against a godly, God-fearing, conservative Democratic candidate, then that would change the picture, but that candidate does not exist, okay? And that Democratic Party does not exist. We're talking about our connection to the president. So here's what I say. If this affair happened and it is now gone public in a big, ugly way, if the president got up and said, you know, these evangelical Christians have taught me a lot about right and wrong, and I'm not the man who used to be. I used to be. Yes, those charges are true. I did those things. I've confessed them to my wife. I'm ashamed of them, but I also ask the American people to forgive me. I'm not that man anymore. All right, then what do we do as evangelicals? Now we talk about forgiveness. Now we say, yes, God's merciful and he forgives. And how many of you have done things in your life that you're ashamed of? And how many of you are glad that the whole world doesn't know about them? So let's forgive as we've been forgiven, and let's encourage the president to set a good example. Look, Bill Clinton's sexual acts and saying that certain things were not sex, that filtered down into the culture. Do we not understand that, friends? These are big issues. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, the charge of hypocrisy in the church cuts in several different directions. My question is, are we willing to be honest with ourselves before God? Thanks for tuning in today. This is Michael Brown. Here's the number to call, 866-348-7884. I've been looking at some articles that are referencing black evangelicals leaving white evangelical churches. And the reason that, according to these articles, one was in a Christian publication, one was in a liberal secular publication. The reason that, according to these articles, blacks are leaving some white churches, so black evangelicals leaving some white evangelical churches, is because the white evangelicals seem blind to their concerns politically, and this has become evident in their support of Donald Trump, and therefore they feel they can't be there because they see Trump as racist or they see Trump as unconcerned for their needs, and therefore they can't be there. All right? Now, whether that is statistically true or not, how well this is analyzed, how Mitch is just relying on anecdote, I don't know, but certainly for some, that's true. Now, here's my concern, and here's where I say that charges of hypocrisy can cut both ways. For years, I have seen there have been prominent black churches, black evangelical churches, that, for example, prayed by name for the election of Al Gore, or prayed by name for the election of Barack Obama. Something that I never saw done in a white evangelical church, all right? And this was actually God's will, and you were praying for these things to happen by name. And when a Democratic candidate would speak in a black church, nobody batted an eyelash. And when a white candidate would speak in a white church, everyone would say separation of church and state. In other words, I've seen over the years, hypocrisy on both sides. You say, well, what gives you the right to address this? Well, I'm part of the body of Christ. I'm a believer. I'm part of the family of God, and the family of God transcends race, and the family of God transcends ethnicity, and the family of God transcends male or female categories. So we can all speak to all of these issues. So from my perspective, the concerns about hypocrisy cut both ways. That you had white evangelicals voting for a candidate who had clear moral flaws, whereas in the past we've said integrity, integrity, integrity. And you've had black evangelicals voting for candidates with clear moral flaws in their stands. Voting liberal, voting for Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton, despite their pro-abortion stances. All right? And then I see the concerns about hypocrisy going both ways. And I think that all of us need to say, are we being consistent before God? Are we falling into political traps? If we vote for a candidate with reservations, how clearly do we state our reservations? If, for example, we are white evangelicals who voted for President Trump, are we free to criticize him when we differ with him, take issue with his behavior, or do we think we just have to zip our mouths shut to show that we're good boys and we're in the right political camp here and he's going to do good things for us and we'll be happy when he does and we can't cross him, can't get him upset? Is that what we're going to do? If you're a black evangelical, and you said, look, I don't like abortion, I don't agree with abortion, but on balance, I think Hillary Clinton is a better candidate than Donald Trump. Well, then what are you doing for pro-life? How active are you involved in pro-life? How active are you in fighting against abortion in your community? We just got to be consistent. And because the secular liberal media is always going to point in one direction. and it's very rarely going to recognize its own hypocrisy. And then within the body, one side can point to the other side. You know, someone suggested to me that I don't have the right to talk about black evangelical hypocrisy. I can only speak about white evangelical hypocrisy because I'm white. All right? Well, then how is it that black evangelicals can talk about white hypocrisy or white evangelical hypocrisy? Or the secular media can accuse Christians, but then we can't do the other. No, we've got to be consistent. Equal weights and equal measures. That's what's important in the sight of God. I want to play a clip from you. This is Washington Post columnist Michael Gerzen. He's on Face the Nation, the issue of evangelicals, white evangelicals, and hypocrisy, and Donald Trump, and Stormy Daniels, the porn star, the accusations, all this stuff coming up. Listen to this interaction.
Look, final question for you. Many people, including myself, raise their kids to respect the office of the presidency and the president of the United States. When he uses vulgarity to talk about individuals, what are they supposed to tell their kids?
Again, I'll be with my kids this morning and I'll be focused on them, on what the president is doing to protect the United States, its citizens, and more importantly,
his
economy.
So he's not immoral. Don't worry about his values. Don't worry about him as a role model.
I've never said that whatsoever. So I don't know why you're putting these words in what I'm trying to say. Okay. So again, I am very comfortable with what we're doing. Okay. And again, I think you're trying to take this out of perspective and implying something I'm not saying.
Oh, fair enough. That what are you supposed to say when he's using these vulgarities to kids?
I think you should be focused on what the policies are. He's using those vulgarities in the context of a campaign rally. And obviously, there were a lot of funny moments on that rally.
Yeah, they were hilarious. Anyway, Secretary Mnuchin, I appreciate you coming on again. I know you had to wake up extra early. That I appreciate.
Okay, I set up the wrong clip there. There was a different one. I'll reference. I'll actually give you a quote from in the Face the Nation segment. So I'll come back to that. That was my bad. The clip that was played was Chuck Todd, and he was speaking with Steve Mnuchin, and he was speaking with Mnuchin about the president's insult of Chuck Todd and NBC, MSNBC journalist Chuck Todd. The president called him a sleeping SOB, but spell the whole thing out. He said the whole words there in case you missed it, a sleeping son of a blank. He said that. And Chuck Todd was asking Steve Mnuchin, how do you feel about this? Now listen, obviously, I disagree with things that Chuck Todd has said. I don't follow him closely, but he's going to represent the liberal mainstream media. And obviously, he's in that sense someone that the president opposes and takes issue with. But to me, it's demeaning and degrading to the office of the presidency and does not help him advance his cause. It actually splinters his base in certain ways when he engages in this kind of rhetoric. A lot of people love it and they get into it. But to me, it just adds to the general chaos and incivility and unkindness of our society as a whole, and does far more harm than good. All right? And it lessens him in the eyes of many, lessens the president. So Chuck Todd is pressing this issue politely and saying, look, I teach my kids to not speak evil of the president. Some say, well, Chuck Todd needs to do a better job on TV. Okay, fine. But he's saying, look, I teach them not to speak evil of the president. What do I do now when the president's saying these things about me? All right, how does that help? I agree with Chuck Todd on that point. That's why I wrote an article entitled, I Agree with Chuck Todd. And it bothers me. I don't care if Steve Mnuchin is part of the administration. It bothers me that he can't say, yes, I understand why those comments would be disturbing. And the president may have made it lighthearted, tongue-in-cheek. He's having fun in the campaign rally. But yes, I understand. That's about you. That could be stinging. That could seem to be uncivil. And I can understand how it leaves you in a quandary with how you're going to teach your children to do the right thing when the president's doing something. I mean, you don't just have to defend it. You say, well, that's what you got to do in politics. Okay, fine. He has to do it because he's part of the political scene. He's part of the administration. But as followers of Jesus, as evangelicals, as leaders, we don't have to do it. We can say, if Chuck Todd asked me, right, you know, how do you feel about those comments? I regret them. I wrote an article saying I agree with you. I still support the president. I would vote for him if the elections were today. But those are the types of things that grieve me, that I feel do him more harm than good, that he shoots himself in the foot with. And I regret that he said that. All right, that, well, now you're betraying him. No, no, no. Here's the one I don't want to betray. His name is Jesus. I don't want to betray the Lord. I do not want to betray the Lord. It is that simple. I do not want to betray my own integrity in the sight of God. And I am not going to work and labor to live a certain way before the Lord and before people for decades to then throw out whatever credibility has been earned because I feel I have to support everything the president says and does. At the same time, I'm not going to bow down to secular media or to the left or to radical liberal and say what they want me to say because I'm not their pawn either. We're nobody's pawn. We're God's servants. If we could take hold of that, we'd live a whole lot differently. So the clip I'd set up, had the wrong clip played for you. Here's the dialogue, all right? Michael Gerson said, evangelicalism really has a good tradition, and now they're really undermining that reputation of their faith. So this is on Face the Nation. Margaret Brennan asked, but in that judgment, you are saying the transactional part of this relationship isn't worth the trade-off? And Michael Gerson replied, well, they're acting like, you know, slimy political operatives, not moral leaders. He's saying this about evangelical leaders. They're acting like slimy political operatives, not moral leaders. They are essentially saying in order to get benefits for themselves in a certain way, they talk about religious liberty and other issues, but to get benefits for themselves, they're willing to wink at Stormy Daniels and wink at misogyny and wink at nativism. And that, I think, is deeply discrediting, not just in a political sense, but actually in a moral and religious sense. Well, I agree if we wink, if the Stormy Daniels allegations are true, if we just wink at that, all right? If we wink at things, you know, comments from the president a decade plus ago, and how he treats women and what he does and grabs them and, you know, such and such, and if we just wink at that, yeah, now we are compromising ourselves. And yes, we are acting in a certain sense like slimy political operatives. But if we say, oh, those things grieve us, we're aware of those. We're aware of his bad behavior. We knew who we're voting for, but we believe he's going to do the best job. We regret that we don't have a candidate that shares our other moral values and perspectives. But we believe right now as the president that he's the best choice and he can do a lot of good. And when we see a 24/7 attack against him by the liberal media, we will speak up for him when we believe it is right to do so. Why can't we have that position? And many do. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. Can I speak to you from my heart, honestly, candidly? Yeah, I always do. I always do, but I want to do so once more. And I want to do so with as much openness as I can, all right? Many of you have listened to me regularly for years. Some of you just tuning in. Some of you watch videos here and there but don't hear the radio show. Some of you read my articles and don't hear the radio show, vice versa. So I'm not assuming that all of you know everything that I say and do, okay? That would be ridiculous to think that you never miss a broadcast, you never miss a video, you never miss an article, you never miss a sermon. Although some of you, that's to your credit, you don't miss anything. God bless you. All right. Whether you know me well or not, this is what it comes down to for me. Political affiliation is not just secondary in my thinking. It's way down the list. You know, secondary, tertiary, it's further down the list. If I knew the right term, I'd use it. You know, if it's the fifth or the seventh or the tenth item, it's way down the list for me. All right, I am a registered independent. Now, some of you, by conviction or by calling or by history, whatever, are registered Democrats, Republicans, and that's your business, all right? I'm not saying it's wrong to be. I'm saying I'm registered as an independent. And political affiliation is not important to me. Also, I am not trying to get a seat at Donald Trump's table. I have friends of mine who have had influence in his life and impact in his life that have spent time with him one-on-one or in small groups. I have not, nor do I have an ambition to, nor do I have a deep sense of calling that is God's will that I do. If I had a deep sense of calling that I am supposed to be in Donald Trump's inner circle or in the inner circle of another political leader, then there would be a test set before me. Will I speak the truth anyway? Will I address issues the way I used to on the radio? Will I write about things as I feel the need to, even if it might offend or put that person off? Or will I not do those things because I want to have an in with that person? That would be an honest test that I would have to face. Will I do what's right in the sight of God and man, with wisdom, of course, and always with a redemptive heart as I seek to? Will I do that, or will I play political games to gain someone's favor? Now, come on. You've never done that in any way? You've never tried to get the favor of a leader or in the home? Have you ever done it in the home? You know, with played one parent against another and you know, you're not being totally honest because you're trying to get a certain thing accomplished, all right? So, yeah, I've had to evaluate that in my own life over the years, not with political leaders, but with other situations. If I speak the truth here, will I lose this constituency? And I've said, well, let it be. I've got to honor the Lord. If I write this book, are certain people going to turn against me? Could be. Will I lose the support of certain publishers? Could be. Will I be barred from certain schools? Could be. And it's just been something very deep inside of me, and married to Nancy also, who does not have a compromising bone in her body when it comes to moral truth and integrity, that, yeah, I'm going to do what's right. And if it costs me everything, it costs me everything. But at other times, I've realized, you know, I'm acting in the fear of man. I'm acting in a man-pleasing spirit. And even today, a big prayer I was praying was just that the Lord would help me to be more intimate with him and more intimate with his word so that I would just consistently do what's right, period. That I've sought to do that through the decades. I've sought to live my life like that through the decades. But I am quite sure that at times I have fallen short because of an unconscious desire to please this person or an unconscious fear of this person, and therefore I don't say it like it is or the exact right way. Or the other hand, you go too far. You try to prove something to somebody. You try to prove how zealous you are. And either way, when we're catering to this one or trying to prove something to that one, either way, we end up hurting ourselves, we end up hurting others, and we hurt the cause of truth. So look, I don't have that test before me with President Trump. I have no ambition to be in his inner circle. I have no sense of calling or destiny that I'm supposed to be one of these guys that's regularly in the White House. If that's the will of God, fine, but it's nothing on my horizon that I look forward to and see, or when I pray, I feel the Lord is showing me. Therefore, it's easy. It's easy. My only obligation is to do my best to be loyal to the Lord and to serve the body and to be a representative of the gospel to the world. It's easy. I don't have to weigh this out. Well, if I write this column, then President Trump will shut the door. I don't have an open door. I know at times that articles I've written have been sent directly to him, to his assistant, you know, closest assistant, all right, or family members have been urged to read everything I write. I know that that has happened at certain times in the last year or two. But I don't imagine that when I write something, oh, yeah, President Trump looked at it and said, I don't like what Brown wrote today. I'm not imagining that. I'm not thinking of that. Nor am I thinking on a lesser level, well, Chuck Todd like this, or Anderson Cooper's going to like this. Well, CNN's going to like, well, Fox, well, I'm trying to honor the Lord. But look, I'm talking about me to talk about you. Are you free? Are you free to hold to your convictions in the sight of God? Or do you feel, because of the color of your skin, because of your ethnicity, because of your church affiliation, because of expectations, that you have to either take this stand all the time or take this stand all the time? Look, I have black evangelical friends that have lost large parts of their churches because they did not support President Obama. And the fact they voted for Donald Trump has now just put them completely off the mark. You know, and I was with a few of these guys that were just talking about this the other day. But they were trying to get the white evangelical leaders in the room to recognize the sensitivities and the problems and the issues. And I was telling the white evangelical, you're not hearing these guys. You're not recognizing, you're not understanding the world they live in and what they've had to deal with. So they were talking about a problem they've had in their black evangelical community. And I was telling my white evangelical friends, we've got a blind spot. We're not hearing what they're saying. So this cuts in all different directions. But there's an interesting verse. It's in Matthew's gospel when some religious leaders come to test Jesus. And they say, look, you don't fear man. You're not trying to please man. You just want to speak the truth before God, to paraphrase, all right? Now they're trying to flatter him. They're trying to set him up. But that is an accurate description of who he was and who he is. And that should be an accurate description of each of us. We don't fear man. We don't play political games. I've preached it for years. We are not politicians as leaders in the body. We are not professionals. We are God's prophetic spokesman. We are to be obedient to him, hearing his voice and declaring it to the church and the world. And if you think of the prophets of Israel, we're not claiming their divine authority, all right? But if you think of the prophets of Israel, you think they heard God and they feared God, and therefore they spoke the truth regardless of cost or consequences. And having worked with the persecuted church around the world to this day, and having been in life-threatening situations, and as a Jewish believer in Jesus, just right from the start, you realize the stands you take will be costly. So all I'm asking for is just that we're consistent. All I'm asking for is that we realize wherever we stand with the president, wherever we stand with politics, that the biggest thing is we are consistent in our witness, that we are first and foremost followers of Jesus, and then everything else is after that. The way we parent, the way we live as singles, the way we live as couples, the way we walk in the business world, the way we conduct ourselves on social media, it is consistent with our profession of faith. And it is not just for the glory of God, it's for the good of a confused church and the good of a dying world. Hey, friend, on that note, let me remind you that you can still order a numbered, signed copy of the first printing of Playing with Holy Fire. I say on that note because here is a book that I wrote not because of the critics, but despite the critics. I've written a book of honesty to the Charismatic Church. Oh, we identify abusive, how to recognize an abusive leader. We talk about people prophesying for financial gain. Oh, we lay things out. We expose the pep talk, carnal prosperity gospel, and our celebration of doctrinal deviance, all while recognizing what God is doing around the world in the outpouring of his Spirit. You'll find the book redemptive, but absolutely brutally honest. So you can still order your numbered, signed collector's edition of the first printing. We're going to be getting the books in any week and be ready to sign them and send them out. So go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. And when you're there, it's on the homepage. You'll see the banner. Click on it. Be my joy to sign that book, send it out to you. All right, back with you for some great interviews tomorrow.